The Dog Point Podcast. Welcome, guys, to the episode 8 of the Dog Point Podcast. And today we are talking about commitment in training and commitment with money. And the reason why we mention those two is if you want a dog to protect you, you need to commit to both. It is not enough to just get a powerful breed and have the dog in the yard, and when the time comes, the dog will simply protect you because it's in its nature to be protective. That's not how this stuff works, okay? You need to be committed, in time and in finances. In other words, you have to get a trainer to teach you how to handle this dog. You have to teach the dog what to do in which scenario, when it's okay to bite, when it's not okay to bite, because your dog comes with a blank slate. He doesn't know when it's okay to do this and when it's not. Because you have to teach him, no, this is a friend of mine, I don't want you to bite him. Or this guy is about to rob me, yes, it's okay for you to bite. The dog can't know until you teach him. Okay? So people thinking, I'm getting a Rottweiler, they're naturally protective and this dog will protect me. No, not how it works. Okay? And oftentimes, there is a lot of money spent getting the dog and purchasing the dog. And then training is seen a little bit as a necessary evil that needs to be done. And when training is looked at in that way, it means that dog owners find every conceivable shortcut, or at least they try, in an effort to spend less money on training, because they already have the dog. So in their mind, the biggest hurdle has been crossed. I got the dog. But work now begins. The dog is growing, depending on breed, between 2 to 3 years and undergoes different stages in its development. And training has to happen throughout that period. Okay? So if that is not done, you're going to end up with behavioral problems in the dog at some point or another. Right? People have to realize that a well-behaved dog is built and doesn't just appear out of thin air. Yeah? And then there's the other argument. Oh, I had dogs for 10 years and never had the problems that I'm having with this dog. Yeah, well, 10 years ago, dogs behaved differently. Crime situation has changed. The drive level of dogs have changed. And then on top of that, dogs are individuals. So whatever dogs you had in the past, they are not the dog you have now. And so you cannot treat every dog the same way and expect them to turn out to be the same way. That doesn't work. Okay? Each dog is different. And training is something that is an ongoing process. And as trainers, we spend more time working on the owners and trying to get the owners to do the right thing than actually training the dog. Because the dog is very receptive to what we're trying to teach. It is the owners that are generally somewhat resistant, because humans don't take well to change. And we understand that. But it is not the trainer's fault. And something has to change in order for the dog to change. Otherwise, you would not have called a trainer in the first place. Okay? There's a reason why you called. The reason being that you're struggling with your dog. So when a trainer now comes and is, you know, willing to help you, and you resist every step of the way in this process and don't have an open mind to training, then the trainer's job becomes very difficult. And oftentimes what you end up with is a dog that listens fine to the trainer but gives trouble listening to you. And that is created by the dog owner. That is not created by the trainer. Okay? You had maybe in those 10 years, 4 dogs, 3 dogs, 5 dogs, I don't know how many. But we would have worked with hundreds and thousands of dogs. So we have a fair idea as to what needs to be done compared to the average dog owner. And so, you know, recognizing that change is needed and that an open mind is needed is the first step for every dog owner. And it is one of the most important steps. Because oftentimes I hear it when people say, yeah, the dog is doing everything for you, but he's not doing it for me. Well, the answer to that is, okay, then let's work on you, because the dog doing it for me proves that the dog can do it. And the dog didn't do it on his own. The dog was taught to do it. And the dog knows how to do it now. The fact that he's not doing it with you means there needs to be some change with you, the owner, in order to get the dog to behave the same way. Because if you do what the trainer does, the dog will behave the same way with you. Okay? And so, you know, change doesn't come easy. Change doesn't come overnight. And we all know that. But it's also important for owners to recognize that fact. You cannot, you know, have a dog fully trained in a few weeks. Because one, you got the dog as a puppy, you start early with obedience and so forth, but you cannot, you know, jump into protection with a 3-month-old puppy. So you have to teach it some control while the dog is growing up and then ease them into protection work. Because if you push too soon and too hard, with a puppy in protection, you can actually shut down the dog and it will never do the job that you got it for. It's easy for that to happen. Okay? And one must also recognize that there will be mistakes that are made by dog owners, which is natural. If a dog owner now learns something, everybody who ever learned something new made mistakes in the beginning. That is perfectly okay. That is perfectly natural. But it also means that now the trainer has to spend 1 or 2 sessions fixing the mistake and helping you not to repeat that mistake going forward, which again takes a little extra time. And it takes time away from the actual initial plan. That is not a scenario that was created by the trainer. That is something that is created by the owner. But yet, a lot of dog owners are quick to complain that, you know, training takes so long and you know, it's expensive. And okay. But you, if, for example, if you learn how to play a guitar, you're not expertly playing guitar like Axe, for instance, after 2 or 3 weeks of practicing. It takes time and experience to get there. And so, you know, it calls for this commitment. It calls for the willingness to participate in the process. That has to be there. Otherwise, you set yourself up for problems. And then there's somebody had a really good dog in the past. And now, since that dog passed on, every single dog after gets compared to that dog. And that is not right. It is not fair to your current dog. Because each dog is an individual. Each dog is different. It's the same in families. You can have 6 brothers and they're all different. They share very close genetics, but they're all different. And sometimes even fundamentally different. So stop comparing dogs. So you had a good dog. Great. Now we're going to try and make the current dog good as well. We're trying to get your current dog to its full potential. But that may mean, because he's different, we may have to go a different way about this than you did with your previous dog. Okay? It's a different scenario. It's a different life. And therefore, this one-size-fits-all approach is not going to work. And that is what's being advocated out there a lot, especially from the force-free community. Right? There's only one way of doing this, and that is our way, and everything else is just, you know, you're cruel, you're this, you're that, and the other. BS is all I can say to that. There are dogs that will not respond to cookies. There are dogs that will not respond well to food. And what is cruel for me is to starve a dog 3 days to make him so hungry so that I can use the only tool that they have to get the dog to do something. That is nonsensical to me. Okay? Doing your homework in between training sessions is also very important. You know, sometimes, if sessions are weekly, you teach the dog something, you teach the owner how to practice it, and tell him, okay, practice that for the next week, and then when I come back, we build on that and move on to something more advanced. And then, well, I was kind of busy this week and I didn't get to practice with my dog. Okay, life happens, but know that this now extends the training period for another week again. Okay? That is on you. That is not on the trainer. If you don't have the commitment to practice at least 5 to 10 minutes a day with your dog, then at some point you have to ask yourself, why do you have this dog? Do you really want to achieve your goal with your dog? Because everybody should have that amount of time for their dog. Especially if they want a protection dog. Okay? And the lessons, in the training lessons, build on each other. So it's imperative that you practice with your dog. Otherwise, we have to do the same thing again because you didn't do it. We have to practice in the training session what you could have practiced every day a few minutes to progress your dog. But because it wasn't done, now we have to do it in the session because we can't build until it's done. Okay? That is how training works. It builds. And you also, in working with your dog, supposed to build the trust level that you have with your dog and your dog with you and to deepen the bond with practice so that you can become a team. Our goal is to make the dog and you a team. That is what we as trainers are trying to do. But you have to be part of that equation. You have to be willing to take part in this. You know, there is no magic pill that we can give the dog and boom, the dog will just magically listen to you. That is a fairy tale. Anybody who tells you that they do all the work with the dog and the dog just listens to you, they're lying to you. You have to work with your dog to make this work. To make this teamwork, if you want the dog to protect you properly and efficiently. Right? Training a dog takes time, patience, and money. And gone are the days where dog training is a side hustle for people. It is a profession. And if you hire a professional, if you hire somebody who makes their living doing this, then you should listen. Because chances are that they know a little more about dogs than you do. If not, you could do it yourself. But you didn't. Right? On the same token though, I'm not taking it easy on us trainers. On the same token, trainers have to conduct themselves professional and be patient with the dog, and more so, be patient with the dog owner. As trainers, we we live and breathe dogs. We handle dogs, work with dogs all day long, 7 days a week. Dog owners don't. They will go to the office or to their business during the day, and then they come home and they spend time with the family and some time with the dog. Their profession is a different one. So they will have a harder time learning, handling their dog than somebody who is committed solely to working with dogs. And as trainers, we have to understand that. We have to understand that the learning curve is a different one for dog owners that have a non-animal related job. It is harder for them to understand. It is harder for them to form habits. We need them to do it, yes, but we also have to be patient in teaching them. And just how we break down steps for the dog, where we have different stages in teaching a dog to down and then wean them off luring with the food right at the nose, into getting the dog to lie down simply because we say so with nothing in our hand, and then produce the reward afterwards. So we have to break steps down for dog owners as well, because we can't expect them to just know it. Okay? So if a trainer says, yeah, I'm really good with dogs, but I'm not so good with people, then you're in the wrong profession, because the majority of what you're going to do as a dog trainer is working with people. You have to be able to teach people in order to be a dog trainer. Because if you can't deal with the people and you can't train the dog owners, then you shouldn't be taking people's money to train their dog. Okay? That is just imperative. Right? And in all of this process, one of the most important things to remember, both as a dog owner and as a trainer, is that the dog comes first. Helping the dog understand is priority. Because if you try to put a round peg in a square hole, that is not training. If you have a dog that you want to be a guard dog, that you want to be a protection dog for you and your family, but the dog does not have the genetic ingredients to do so, and you're trying to force the dog into this role, that's not going to work, and it's very unfair to the dog. And I personally wouldn't do it. Okay? If I see that your dog is not cut out for what you are asking me to teach your dog, I will tell you that right from the beginning. It's better to start over with another dog than to be unfair to the dog every step of the way. Okay? It will just make for a disaster somewhere down the road where the dog snaps one day and bites the wrong person. You don't want that. So, to dog owners, take some advice from trainers before you purchase a dog. Not because a dog is on sale or a dog is a little cheaper than somewhere else, means that you're getting the dog that you need for the function that you want it for. Take your time in the selection process. Seek some advice, because all too often, dog owners take out their frustration that their dog is not cut out for the job on the trainer. The trainer did not choose the dog for you. You did. Okay? So the blame has to go to the man in the mirror for that one. Okay? So dog training is expensive. There's no way around that. It costs money. But what are you paying for? Oftentimes, people say to me, Mark, you make it look so easy. And sometimes it is. No. It wasn't that easy to do when I was much younger. Why? Because I didn't have the experience then. Now I have over 3 decades under my belt. Yeah, things get easier because I've worked with rescue dogs. I have worked with very shy dogs. I have done rehabilitation with dogs. I have worked with detection dogs, trained detection dogs. I have worked with any type of dog you can imagine. Very aggressive dogs, dominant dogs, and anything in between. In those 30 plus years, the experience gained is what you pay for. The lessons learned during that period is what you pay for. The seminars taken is what you paid for. The courses taken is what you pay for. Seeking out knowledge for 30 plus years is what you pay for. That is what you really pay for. So when a trainer with experience tells you a price, then that's his price. And all too often people seem to think that everything is a bazaar where there is negotiations to be had. And no, it's not. If you don't want me to train a dog, that's fine. You know, I have no problems with that. If somebody says, okay, your price is outside of my budget, fine. That's okay, I understand. But if you want me to train your dog, this is the price. And, you know, there is no negotiation in this. Because there is a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and bites that have happened to get to this point. And oftentimes, we go out of our way for clients and find out that, you know, I wouldn't say it was for nothing, but it's, you know, not appreciated. Or people are just being dishonest. So if I go to work with a dog for a client and they have an older dog somewhere in a kennel and he's making noise and barking and asking, he's locked up. Everything is secured? Yes. And I'm working with a younger dog or a puppy, and all of a sudden the adult dog comes barreling down in my direction because they didn't bolt the kennel properly. You know? And I say, I don't know how it happened. And so, yeah, we deal with the situation, yes. And we try to stay out of the hospital, yes. But the risk that we take every time we step into somebody's yard, where there's multiple dogs, you know, who's paying for that? Who will pay for the medical bills if something happens? So, be committed to what you want to achieve in time, in being open-minded, in being patient with yourself and with your dog. Listen to your trainer and commit also to it with your payments. Because at the end of the day, it's a business as well. Nobody's doing this for free. Okay. So, I noticed today's podcast turned a little bit into a rant, but it needed to be said. All those things needed to be said. Because a lot of people don't seem to understand what it takes to train a protection dog. How much work goes into that? How much effort goes into that? How many different variables and intricacies are involved in training a protection dog? Too numerous to mention. Because each dog is different and each dog behaves different and each dog has different drive levels. Each dog has a different prey drive level, defense drive level. You have to balance those drives. There is so much that goes into it. It is no longer what people thought it was 20 or 30 years ago. there is a lot more that goes into it today. And, you know, it costs money because it takes time, and time is money for everybody. Okay? So, if you want a protection dog, do what's needed. Do your research into the breed. Do your research into who you want to help you train the dog. And then once you have taken a decision on either one, be committed to it and see it through. And at the end, you will have a dog that will protect you. You will have a dog that you're happy with. You have a dog that your family is happy with, that your children are safe with. And you know you have this extra layer of protection when you're not home. Or even when you're home, or when you're out with your dog and your family somewhere in a park or on a hike. That peace of mind is worth the money. And I'm going to end it there for today. And see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.